This message entitled Thanksgiving in the Temple was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on October 18th, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Ezekiel 46, 1-3.
Just remind me about the newsletters here. I had one around the light. And these are for October. November's not quite ready yet. There you go. Okay. Let's go ahead and bow in prayer, and we'll come to the message. I thank you, Lord, that you have called, dear God, for a people to be thankful in all things. And Lord, specifically, what we want to look at today is to be thankful in the temple, to be thankful in the church, to be thankful for the church. And I thank you, dear God, that you have called us, Lord, to take this in a special way, take it seriously, and to gather each and every time, shoving aside, dear God, anything else that could get in the way, because quite frankly, there are other times through the week that other things can be done, and we have a time to gather, and that's Friday and today, and I want to thank you for that, dear God. You say, don't forsake the gathering. So I pray, dear God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will be upon us as we do gather this day, and desire for this word to be true in us. Hallelujah. We thank you, we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thanksgiving in the temple. I'm here, announced the young woman to the psychiatrist. I'm here because my mother and my husband think I'm crazy. Oh, well, why do they think that? Because, doctor, I love cinnamon rolls. So, asked the psychiatrist, what's wrong with that? I love cinnamon rolls too. Well, then you must come over sometime, doc. I have two freezers and a refrigerator full of them. I also have more stored down in the basement. Now, evidently this woman loves cinnamon rolls, but I don't know that she's eating any of them. I don't know that she's giving any of them away to anybody. I mean, the idea is to go ahead and enjoy them, to eat them. It's also part of the idea to give them to people, okay, so they can enjoy them as well. I mean, she can go ahead and be thankful for the ability that she knows how to make them and that she can make them, but letting them get freezer burned over the next several months defeats the purpose of making them. All right, I think we all see that. It's kind of like we saw last week. It's a matter of seeing things in the right light. You know, it's not enough to say I love cinnamon rolls and then bake 300 of them a day and then stick them in the freezer forever. You know, that doesn't show how much you really love cinnamon rolls. Last week we talked a little bit about having that positive vision, positive attitude towards things, and not to be all bogged down all the time with this worry and that worry, or some fretting over along this line or that line. You probably never ever heard this story before. It's something that happened 91 years ago today. Alright, October 18th, that's today, right? And 91 years ago, it was also. October 18th up in Canada is Person's Day. And I told you you've never heard this before. Person's Day, it commemorates the 1929 ruling that declared women to be persons. Watch your mouth, guys. Canadian law, now listen to this, listen to how this developed. Canadian law was based on English common law, which had previously considered women persons only in matters of pains and penalties, whatever that means, but not in matters of rights or privileges. Five women from Alberta, Canada, brought a constitutional challenge to the law. The group's leader was Emily Murphy, whose actions as a magistrate, now how she got to be that and not be a person, I'm not quite sure, but whose actions as a magistrate had been challenged on the grounds that she was not a person under the law. Well, the Supreme Court of Canada's initial ruling recognized women as human beings. It's not saying they didn't see them as human beings, but declared that they were not persons. Now, did I say I agree with this? No, I didn't. Maybe I should. Anyway, declared that they were not persons within the meaning of the British North America Act of 1867. The decision was appealed, and 8 years later, the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council in England affirmed that women were indeed persons. It seems ridiculous to us that a court had the debate for years whether women are actually persons. We feel ashamed that at one time slaves were seen as property rather than persons under the law. Yet many people today don't consider unborn children to be persons, so that they can justify ending their lives. Other groups of people are also sometimes treated as though they are less than persons, such as the mentally ill, sometimes the disabled, perhaps the homeless, or people with AIDS, or really anything else. God created every person on earth in his own image. He didn't send Jesus to die for a certain group of people. He died for the whole world, whosoever, the Bible says. That gives each one of us an inherent value, not to ourselves, and let's be careful with that. We're not all hot to trot on how great we are. You know, then you'd be getting into all the self-esteem junk that's out there. Each of us has an inherent value just in being part of God's creation, part of being a person, that is priceless no matter who we are. Any person created by God is worthy of our respect. Now that doesn't mean you always agree with what people stand for and what they say and what they think. And, you know, there's still sin, and sin is still sin in the Bible. And they can claim to be this or that or something else and come up with some weird relationships and so forth and so on, and you know that, but you still, you know, God says that's sin, okay? So you still know that you need to recognize that, but that doesn't mean you run around hating everybody and stomping them into the ground, you know? So there's a difference there. There's a respect that can be there, but at the same time recognizing they've chosen ungodly attitudes to have. God loves each one of us unconditionally. The very least we can do is to treat other people as persons. So even after all of that is said, I'm still not quite sure what they're considering a person to be. If they're recognizing that people are human beings, then what are they saying is different about a person? Hard to say, I guess. One way we can be sure of seeing things as God sees things is in true worship. A.W. Tozer, he put it this way, and we put it this way in the paper this past week. We are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God. He is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Only the Holy Spirit can enable a fallen man to worship God acceptably. As far as that is concerned, only the Holy Spirit can pray acceptably. Only the Holy Spirit can do anything acceptably. God told man, "Here above all creatures, I have given you," talking to us, "I have given you the largest heart. I've given you the capacity to worship. But when you sin, you threw that instrument down in the mud." A.W. Tozer. I think there's quite a picture of this, and at the same time, how to remedy the problem in Ezekiel. Okay, so if you're there, Ezekiel 46. Like I said, we are recognizing that there was only a few verses that were read, but we have more to take a look at, as you'll see. So turn over to Ezekiel 46. If you're still there, then you're in pretty good shape. Okay? All right. I think the picture of this involves the Spirit of God coming down and taking Ezekiel through the temple and showing him the different aspects of it. At one point, the Spirit grabs a hold of the prophet and took him through the temple in order, this room, that room, here, there, everywhere, revealing when we don't follow the Spirit that he's gone. Because all of a sudden, the Spirit just takes off and lets the prophet thereby know and the people of Israel thereby know that he's not necessarily going to stay. If you're not going to really want him as he is, then he doesn't necessarily stay. He's gone. Do you remember the story way back in the Old Testament, even further back than here, where Eli's daughter-in-law and the one had the child, and they named him Ichabod. You remember that? Okay. The child was named Ichabod, literally meaning the Spirit of the Lord has departed. And specifically what we're talking about here, has departed from the temple. That is, has departed from true worship. Because the true worship wasn't there anymore. So the Spirit took him around, showed him everything, showed him what it was supposed to be, and then whoosh, took off. And the word that describes that is Ichabod. Now, right away you think of Ichabod Crane, you know, from the show, the tall, skinny guy from Disney cartoons and stuff. You know, Ichabod Crane. But the word Ichabod literally means in the Hebrew, the Spirit of the Lord has departed. Towards the end of Ezekiel, there is a picture of how to remedy that. And that's what I want to take a look at today. How do you fix that? Okay? There are different scenarios that are given. I'm not going to try to cover them all because, well, it would be too much. I just want to deal with the one, and that's worship. The idea of worship. There are different scenarios that are here in chapter 46, at least two or three of them, but I really want to focus on the role of true worship in eliminating this problem with the Spirit taken off and leaving the temple. The Spirit of the Lord has departed. All right, so let's take a look at the verses we already took a look at, and then we'll go from there. Chapter 46, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. separating out the week from the other 6 days of the week to the Sabbath day. Okay? On the Sabbath, it shall be open. And in the day of the new moon, it shall be open. You know, a few years ago, there was a lot of turmoil in religious circles about the prophecies that can exclusively be found throughout the scriptures concerning the full moon, you know, the blood moon, you know, and so forth. Except for the fact that the Bible, I think, doesn't mention a full moon except maybe once in the whole Bible. I mean, I found it the other day, and I haven't ever seen another one. But if you went through, you might find a couple. But anyway, no, it's the new moon. It's not the full moon, and that's the exact opposite of the full moon. Okay? The new moon, it shall be opened. And the prince, I believe a representation, of course, of the Christ, Prince of Peace, shall enter by way of the porch of the gate, so that's the way in, without, meaning from the outside inward, you go on the porch and then you go through that gate, okay? Shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, and the gate shall not be shut until the evening. So it's a picture of the Sabbath day being open to the people. Here's the temple. Here's God. Amen? Here's worship. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and in the new moons. All right. Praise God. That is how the true worshiper enters. Okay? Jesus said the same thing when he was talking about him being the good shepherd. What did he say? Anybody who enters in by another way than the gate, the door of the sheepfold, which was himself, anybody tries to enter in any other way is a thief. Trying to steal the sheep. No, you've got to go through the gate. And that means to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. Amen? And that is how the true worshiper enters. But how does the true worshiper then proceed through? Now this is really interesting. Watch this. Go on down to verse 9. Okay? There's other things in this chapter. I told you that. But I'm not going to try to cover everything because there's too much. Okay? For today, I mean. Verse 9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feasts, he that entereth in by the way of the... Now listen carefully to what he's saying. By the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth in by the way of the south gate shall go forth by way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in. Do you hear that? You come in the south when you go out the north. You come in the north, you go out the south. You don't just come in and go out. It's a picture of making your way through the Sabbath. It's a picture of making your way through the worship. I'll show you what I mean in just a second. Okay? Let me finish the sentence. He shall not return by way of the gate whereby he came in, but he shall go forth over against it. And the prince in the midst of them, when they go in, shall go in. The prince, of course, is representing Jesus. And when they go forth, shall go forth. In other words, you go all the way through this worship thing with Jesus. You go from one end to the other. You don't just duck in and duck out. I remember, and some of you might have been with us when we saw this, when we were in New York City at Times Square Church, and just walking around Times Square a little bit, right down the block is St. Patrick's Cathedral. Great, big, monstrous church, Catholic church. And it had two doors. In fact, I just saw something on the news the other day. They were showing St. Patrick's. And it has two front doors, one on the side and the other on the front, I suppose it is. But the doors are like this. So there's huge building, okay, all over the place, but two doors like this. And people were filing rather quickly into the one door and out the other one. In and out. That's not coming. coming in the south and going out the north. That's not going in the north and coming out the south. That's not going all through the Sabbath, all through the worship. No, what they were doing was ducking in before work, getting some holy water sprinkled on them, maybe some oil anointing their heads or whatever, and they're out the door, and they're good for the day. We're spiritual now. We got our water, we got our oil, or whatever it is, but it had to be quick, because I watched the same people walk in the door and walk right back out again. There was no worship in that. Okay? That's just in and out, so I can feel good about myself, and I was spiritual today, and I was religious, and I did my thing. I did what I'm supposed to do, and in and out. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Okay? Not at all. All right. Okay, praise God. As long as the Prince, our Jesus, is in the midst, we will be in true worship, and he doesn't duck in and duck out. Okay? While in there, that's when the real work is done. So if you're going to, you know, be so very quick about getting in and out, you're not going to be in there very long. But that's where the work is done. Amen? As you travel through from north to south, south to north, for worship. All right. Some today say the church and its worship is a waste of time. It just takes up your time, and you've got other things to do, and that's more important, and blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, it's just the opposite. Everything else is a waste of time. The worship is what is truly needed. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we don't have other things to do and other things to accomplish. Of course we do. But how far are you going to get if it's not done in worship? You know what I'm saying? If it's not done with a worshipful heart, if it's just duck in and duck out, what are you going to really accomplish? Not much. Okay? Maybe an inside feeling for a second or two that, yeah, I did it. You get to work and somebody says, well, did you stop by the cathedral? Oh, yeah, I did it. See the oil? You know, see the water? You know, yeah, I did it. Yeah, well, you know, that isn't worship. Okay, I'm just going from the Bible now. This is just from the Bible. I'm not making it up. That's what it says. All right? That's where the real work is done. Some today say that the rest of the stuff that we're about, here we are today in church, in worship, is a waste of time. And no, it's not. It's anything that you do instead of that that's really the waste of time. It's like I said, you can get other things done. That's not the issue. That's not the point. But if it's instead of, that's the waste of time. Okay. All right. Let's see. How about verse 11? Yeah. How about verse 11? And in the feasts and in the solemnities, the meat offering shall be an ephah to a bullock, and an ephah to a ram. Now listen, and to the lambs as he is able to give. And I wonder if that isn't just speaking of and coming into from the Old Testament into the New. I wonder if that isn't a picture of coming into a new covenant. Amen? Because you got your ephah and you got your bullock and you got your ram and you got all these things, okay? But to the lambs he is able to as he is able to give. Now, if you were to read through this, and you can later if you like, you'll spot at least two or three references to this lamb, to being about the lamb, as much as you want. And what I mean by that is, are you going to take the lamb of God, who comes to take the sin of the world away, amen, are you going to take him seriously? Or are you just going to pop in and pop out, and you got your water or your oil or whatever it is you get there, and then, you know, you don't really have the lamb. You don't really have Jesus. Amen? All right? Now, that's two or three times that that's in there. Everything else is very specific. You got this bull, you got this ram, you got this ephah. Very specific. Here's how you do it. But when it gets to the lamb, he says, as he is able to give. So how seriously are you going to take the Lamb of God? How seriously do you take New Testament versus Old? Do you see what I'm saying? I think God is making it real clear. This is how you fix the problem with worship. You just don't do it the way everybody tells you. God says to do it. Amen? All right? Several times it mentions about these offerings. At least two or three, I spotted them. Very specific, very adamant. This bull, this ram, this, that, you know. But when it comes to the lamb, it's up to you. Because nobody can force you to be serious about the Lamb of God. God doesn't want to force you to be either. He's telling you, here's Jesus. Here's how I take away the sin of the world. Is that what you want or not? Okay? That's really what God is saying. It's up to you just how seriously you're going to take this Jesus. If other things are more important and they displace that, that is how far you're going to go with the Lord. And that's not very far at all. Amen? Remember, true worship is in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Now, this entering in, I think, is a graphic picture of the Sabbath observances. Okay? When other things are more important and they block it out or they push it aside or they put it over on the back burner, okay? And now you're just about what you want to be about and not about the true worship. Then that's where you're going to find that you're going to be in trouble. And flat out, it's like I said earlier, you just plain don't forsake what God gives. Amen? That's basically it. We've got to be thankful. Amen? Thankful for that entry time. You do not have to come in one door and out the other right next to it. You come in one door and you go through the day. You go through the worship. Amen? So it's not even just a matter of coming here for an hour or two and then going out the door. You know? Are you going to carry your worship with you? Are you going to enter into worship? You come in, you didn't go right out the door. You know, we could open the back door here too, and you just walk in, pick up your water or whatever, and go out the back door. You could do that. Until I finally see you're doing it, then I'll close the door. Okay, you know what I'm saying though. It's God saying, are you going to take me seriously or not? Praise God. Let there be true thanksgiving in this temple. Amen? In this temple. And all the time in this temple. Amen? That's when you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on the Lamb of God. Behold, John said, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. And we'll be thankful for the temple, but we'll also be thankful in the temple. Glory be to God. I think it's probably something we already knew, but I think it's a good reminder. Amen? Because otherwise, it's just something you did on Sunday morning, and off to your life you go. And it needs to be bigger than that. It needs to be more than that. So next time you see two doors like this, watch out. You know, you don't just go in one and out the other. You're going to miss everything if that's what your vision is, if that's what your view is on the whole thing. Amen? God created us to be persons. People. Okay? Who love Him. Why? Well, because He loved us. So He puts that love in us to love Him and to love others. And we come into worship to thank Him. That's what it comes down to thank Him. We're talking about being thankful in this Thanksgiving time. And one thing we need to be thankful for and in is the temple, if I could use that Old Testament analogy, you know, the church. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I just want to thank you, dear God, for your truth that's here today. Lord, it seems that every time we talk about Thanksgiving, we find out it's true. It's not false. It's not fake. If we follow some of the earthly examples and some of the worldly examples, yes, it's going to end up being very fake. But Lord, if we just come and we say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I want to have all of the Lamb thank you, dear God, that you are merciful and gracious and loving and caring. And I thank you, dear God, that you have a reason for us to love you, and it's because you are God. You are God, and Jesus is Savior. Praise the name of Jesus. So we love you, Lord, this day. We need you, and Lord, we don't want to go in one door and right out the other. Hallelujah. We want to go in and worship. Praise the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just exalt you, and we love you, Lord, this day. We thank you, dear God, for all that you give and all that you've even spoken here today, right now. And we thank you, dear God, for your mercy and grace in this day. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.